We begin in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Lord God Almighty, we confess that we often place our trust in the wealth and things of this world. Remind us that all earthly things pass away. Give us eyes to see what truly lasts. Lord Jesus, we confess that our confidence is sometimes shaken when we hear of terrible events occurring in this world. Help us to stand firm and not be alarmed. Keep our hearts anchored in your peace. At Bethany, a woman poured out costly perfume to anoint you, offering her very best in pure devotion. We confess that we often hold back our adoration of you. Lord Jesus, may our lives be a fragrant offering to you. We confess, Lord Jesus, that we are sinful people. Forgive us, Lord Jesus. Fill us with your Holy Spirit and help us to watch, to pray, and love you to the very end. Amen. Brothers and sisters in Christ, Almighty God in his mercy has given his only Son to die for us. And for his sake, God forgives us all of our sins. As a called and ordained minister of the Church of Christ and by his authority, I therefore declare to you the entire forgiveness of all your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We join together in our opening song.
All hail the power of Jesus' name. Let angels prostrate fall. Bring forth the royal diadem and crown him Lord of all. Bring forth the royal diadem and crown him Lord of all. In peace let us pray to the Lord. For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord. For this holy house, and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord. Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and its righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Alleluia, alleluia. We do not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Alleluia, alleluia.
Jesus issues a command to every one of us: keep watch. The command is not sit down and work out a prophetic timetable, as tempting as it may be to try to figure it out. Our Lord tells his beloved church to keep alert and to watch, because world-changing things are happening all around us. In the face of everything that happens, we need not fear, because Jesus is Lord. Our reading is from Mark chapter 13, verses 32 through 37. But about that day or hour, no one knows, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. Be on guard, be alert. You do not know when that time will come. It's like a man going away. He leaves his house and puts his servants in charge, each with their assigned task, and tells the one at the door to keep watch. Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know when the owner of the house will come back, whether in the evening or at midnight, or when the rooster crows or at dawn. If he comes suddenly, do not let him find you sleeping. What I say to you, I say to everyone, watch. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Join me in prayer, please. Gracious Lord God, we thank you and praise you that you have the whole world in your hands, and that you have not only the world and each one of us, but you even have time in your hands. Lord, bless us, encourage us, and give us hope, and help us to watch for your return. In Jesus' name, amen. Go ahead and be seated. You know, as I mentioned, one of the most popular requests that we get is to preach on Revelation, end times, Mark 13, Mark 20, or Matthew 24, all of those kind of places. And, you know, over the years, I mean, how many of you have read a book, kind of a popular book of the day, about end times? It could be any book. One of you, wow, okay, I figured it'd be a whole lot more, one that I saw. But things like Left Behind, and there's so many other things. There's tons of preachers out there that focus entirely on this. In fact, there's whole denominations that's all they talk about, really, is the end times and going back to Daniel and that sort of thing. So, you know, as we look at this, you know, the early Christians were absolutely concerned about those things. But they weren't hyper focused on it, and I'll tell you they had every bit of as much trouble as we ever have had in their personal lives, times about 10 in terms of what they had to go through. And I want to share a story about a leader in the church named Lawrence, and he was in Rome, and, you know, the church had seen a lot of turmoil as far as they had become victims in a lot of ways of different ones of the emperors. But then they had a time of peace, and they would prosper, and Christianity would spread. And in around 258 A.D., so 250 years into the new millennium, this Christian named Lawrence in Rome was in charge of the finances of the church. He was also a deacon, and there was a great revival taking place all around him in Rome. And the Roman emperor started getting concerned and actually a bit jealous, and as a result, persecution broke out under the Emperor Valerian around that year and continued on for many years. Christians who owned property were distributing all the church's money and treasures to the city's poor. And it was causing quite a revolution within Rome. Valerian ordered all bishops, priests, and deacons to be arrested and executed. And he offered Lawrence a way out if he would show where all the church's treasures were located. Because he knew that there were many people that were selling their properties and giving them to Lawrence and to others. But he didn't know about the other part, where it was going. And so he offered him a way out if he told him where all the treasures were located. And Lawrence asked for 3 days to gather it all into one place. Well, Lawrence brought together the blind, the poor, the disabled, the sick, the elderly, the widows, the orphans that they had poured into. And when Valerian arrived, Lawrence flung open the doors and said, "These are the treasures of the church." The emperor was so angry that he decided to put Lawrence to death. And Lawrence was executed August the 10th in AD 258. But Lawrence's courage made such an impression that the revival in Rome only increased, with many people becoming Christians, including several senators who had witnessed his execution. You know, when Jesus teaches about the end times, when John writes in Revelation about the end times, the first readers of this were thinking, yeah, we're in them. Look all around us. All of these things that are happening that are described, so many of them are happening to us right now in the first and second century. Jesus said in Mark 13, he said, "Watch out that no one deceives you. Many will come in my name, claiming I am he, and will deceive many. When you hear of wars and rumors of wars, do not be alarmed. Such things must happen, but the end is still to come." Now, was that true in the days of those early Christians? Absolutely. There were many coming in Jesus, in the Messiah's name, claiming that they are the deliverer, they are the one, or that they were Jesus who had returned from had come back down from heaven. And Jesus is warning them. Now, here's the thing, is that just as true today? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, what's amazing about these prophetic writings is it was then and now. Then and now. A nation will rise up against nation, Jesus tells us, and kingdom against kingdom. There will be earthquakes in various places and famines. These are beginning of the birth pains. Were those things happening back in that day? You betcha. Earthquakes, sure. Famines, wars, nations rising up against nation. Absolutely. But what's amazing, it says the beginning of the birth pangs. Are we still in the birth pangs? Yeah. You know, we have our organist who is a physician who is waiting on a patient. So if all of a sudden we're singing a cappella, she's going to deliver a baby. Now, thank goodness that the labor process isn't 2,000 years, right? How many of you can say an amen to that? Okay. But the point is that it's going to happen. It's going to happen. I remember when I was serving my first call down outside of Victoria in Coletaville, okay, 8 miles from Schrader Dance Hall, okay, just so you know. That was the time when, 1991, you remember what happened then? Saddam Hussein in the news, right? All of these things. I got all these pamphlets predicting the end of the world. And it was, one of them was like, I had one, it said October 3rd, 1992, and here's why. And it aligned everything. I still have it. I kept it. And, because wars and this is this sign, and they took it from Revelation, and this is this, and this is this, and this is this, and this represents this. And I remember there was another one that came out and said that Mikhail Gorbachev had the mark of the beast. It was his birthmark on his head, okay? And Ronald Reagan was the Antichrist because it was Ronald Wilson Reagan, and there were six letters in each one of his names. Okay, well, I know, but people were very serious about this, and they wanted to convince other people. This was before internet, you know, and everything went viral. It was all done by pamphlet, okay, and mailed anonymously, usually. But, you know, it's so easy to get wound up about this and to say, well, this is this, this is this. Well, here's the thing. What does Jesus say? Yeah, there's going to be wars. There's going to be persecutions. And, you know, in some ways, when he predicts this, does he tell us these things to make us worry and fret and crawl into a fetal position? Or does he tell us this to say, you know what? Your Christian walk, your walk of faith with me is not going to be just all roses and butterflies. You know, you may be persecuted for your faith. You know what? So in a way, and for some of the early Christians like Lawrence, they said, Jesus told it was going to happen. It's happening. And I can face this fully with hope and understanding that this is not that Jesus has abandoned us. It's just what he said is coming true for us right now. And the same is true for us. You know, we've lived a very, I think, by and large, a fortunate existence in this country. We can only read about and really, and we can say, well, this, but when you look at the level of persecution that so many Christians around the world are going through right now, in places where it's actually illegal to be a Christian, they look at this and they say, yeah, this is part of the price of following Jesus, and that's okay. Well, they wouldn't say it's okay, but it's to be expected. But we're gonna walk in faith. We're gonna pour our treasures into the blessed poor. And you know, we go on. Jesus goes on. You must be on your guard. You will be handed over to the local councils and flogged in the synagogues. Did that happen? Absolutely. On account of me, you will stand before governors and kings and witnesses to them, and the gospel must be preached first in all nations. And whenever you are arrested and brought to trial, do not worry about beforehand what to say. Just say whatever is given you at the time, for it is not you speaking, but the Holy Spirit. It said, so Lawrence, when he was speaking to the emperor, said, I'll collect the treasures of the church. And you know what? He knew what was coming. He had all of these friends who were fellow deacons and pastors in the church. And he said, I know what's coming, but I want to show you, I want to witness to you about the goodness of God, the grace of God, and his love. So let's pick it up in verse 32 of Mark 13. This is part of our reading today, and I want to walk you through this a bit. But about that hour, day or hour, no one knows. I always wondered why that person that sent me that pamphlet that said October 13th, 1992, why they happened to skip over this verse. And I'll tell you, almost every forecast I've seen of somebody saying this is when the end of the world is going to come, to get very specific dates and very specific reasons, and never mention that verse. In 30 years, I just don't see it. You don't know the day or the hour. Should that cause us concern, or simply allow us to say, you know what? You know, when the end comes, and we will be in God's gracious hand. How many of you know the exact hour of your death? Okay? All of us may take our final breath before Jesus returns, before all of this, the end times unfolds. But about that end time. No one knows, not even the angels in heaven nor the Son, but only the Father. But he says this, be on guard, be alert, because you do not know when that time will come. In other words, be ready. Be ready. Just understand. Don't be surprised when Jesus returns, as in, oh, I didn't know that was coming. But treat it as though, you know what? We're going to live our lives. We are going to love and serve and live and, you know, and celebrate and enjoy life as we're able. And, but all along with the mindset of, you know, one of the earliest, we did this in the prayer of the day, one of the earliest prayers of the church, and it comes at the very end of the Bible, the Revelation, they call it the Maranatha. And it was, Amen, come Lord Jesus, and come quickly. Right? We want Jesus to return because he will restore all things, renew all things, including us. So let's go on. And he goes on, and I'm not going to spend a ton of time on this, but it's like a man going away. He leaves his house, puts his servant in charge, and each with their assigned tasks, and tells them, one at the door, to keep watch. Therefore, keep watch. You notice this recurring theme here? Because you do not know when the owner of the house will come back. Who's the owner of the house? Jesus. Whether in the evening or at midnight or when the rooster crows or at dawn, if he comes suddenly, do not let him find you sleeping. Now, that does not give you an excuse to stay up all night. It's more like, don't let him find you slumbering and just thinking this is never going to happen. What I say to you, I say to everyone, watch. So let's, in the notes in your bulletin, I put that word watch and did my best to come up with a little acronym here to do it. So our first call is to watch but not worry. Verse I love from Philippians 4, 6 and 7. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all he's done. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. So we watch, we're watchful, but not worrying about it. Okay? The second is to be alert. Be alert, not anxious. And here's this in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8. Peter writes this, be alert and of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for somebody to devour. So we're watchful. We know that Satan's at work. And we know, you know, in fact, if you you could also do Philippians 4 there, because in the NIV version it says, don't be anxious about anything. Okay? Same thought. Third, trust, not doubt. So, Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your, what? Heart. And lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways submit to him, and he will make your paths straight. What's amazing is you hear about Lawrence and so many of the others who went, they knew that they were going to lay down their lives. So many, almost all the apostles except for John were martyred, were killed. But you know what? They had gotten to a place of faith where they trusted in the Lord with all their hearts, didn't lean on their own understanding, but simply said, Lord, thy will be done. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. All right, second to last one, be courageous, not fearful. Joshua 1:9, wonderful passage. Joshua is about, Moses now is gone, as they're leading the people into the promised land, and God has to tell Joshua, three or four times just in the first chapter of Joshua to be courageous. And this is what he says. Joshua, be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. Why? This is the best part to me. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. So no matter what you face, no matter what I face in this life, we can take these words. And what's great is when God gives us a command, I don't know about you, but you know, if somebody said, quit being afraid, I don't find that to be particularly helpful, okay? Or quit that, or quit this. Well, quit whining maybe. Okay, that one we can maybe do on our own. But quit being afraid. Or be courageous. Come on, be courageous. The great thing is God, when God tells us to do something, when he tells Joshua to do this, he says, don't be discouraged. Don't be afraid, because I, the Lord your God, will be with you wherever you go. How can you not be afraid? How can you not be discouraged? Resting in that knowledge that he will be with you. And then the last one is hope. Hope, not despair. Romans 15:13 says this. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, as you have faith in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. So, brothers and sisters, we're called to watch, but we're also equipped to watch. And I want you to, as we close, our prayer is going to be the Maranatha. It's going to be, Amen, come, Lord Jesus, and come quickly. Let's do that together. Amen, come, Lord Jesus, and come quickly. Let's sing together and receive our tithes and offerings. O Lord our God, maker of all things, through your goodness you have blessed us with these gifts. With them we offer ourselves to your service and dedicate our lives to the care and redemption of all that you have made. For the sake of him who gave himself for us, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. We continue in prayer. Blessed Lord Jesus, you speak to us through the Holy Scriptures. We praise you that we are indeed fearfully and wonderfully made in your image, that you have knit us together in our mother's wombs, and you have called us to live and to love and to serve you. Grant that we may hear your holy word, respect it and learn it and make it our own in such a way that not only we benefit, but that the world comes to know comes to know you. Lord, in your mercy. Lord God, we seek and ask for the outpouring of your Holy Spirit on each and every one of us, on this blessed community, on your churches throughout this community, and throughout the world. Watch over those who are being persecuted, those who are suffering, and those who have been imprisoned because of their faith in you. Watch over, help them and heal them, and bring courage to them. Lord, in your mercy. Lord God, we're grateful for our nation and the freedoms that we enjoy. We ask a blessing on our leaders at every level of government. We lift up those who are suffering from natural disasters up in the Pacific Northwest, and those still recovering from floods in our own area. And Lord, we pray for leaders of other nations, leaders within this very community, our first responders. And we ask, Lord, that you would make us truly grateful for what you have shared with us. Lord, in your mercy. Lord God, we thank you and praise you for the gift of life, for the gift of healing. Lord, we lift up the names of those who are near and dear to us, who are in special need at this time, whether it be for physical healing, healing of their hearts and minds, whatever it may be, we lift them in the silence of our hearts before you. Lord God, we lift up those who have been hospitalized, including Marianne Krieger and Linda Groner. For those in hospice, Christy Wendt and Alice Behrens, Emma Hirschfield. And Lord, bless us as we receive Holy Communion, your body and blood. Bring us encouragement and hope and forgiveness. We ask this all in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. Disciples to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. We give you thanks, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us through the healing power of this gift of life. And we pray that in your mercy you would strengthen us through this gift in faith toward you and in fervent love toward one another for the sake of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Say, fail not, as thou hast been, thou forever wilt be. Great is thy faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. My children, with my blessing, never alone. Waking, sleeping, I am with you. You are my own. In my love's baptismal river, I have made you mine forever. Go, my children, with my blessing, you are my own. I, the Lord, will bless and keep you and give you peace. I, the Lord, will smile upon you and give you peace. The Lord will be your Father, Savior, Comforter, and Brother. Go, my children, I will keep you and give you peace.
Well, praise God. Remember to watch. To watch, to be alert, to trust, to be courageous, and to hope in the Lord. Now this time of worship is ended and the service begins. We leave to live out God's call to save the lost and strengthen the saved. May we go to be and make disciples. blessing and teaching in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And remember, he is with you always, even to the end of time. Amen.